Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into another edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app. We are getting this party started. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Andrew Pichet. We're mixing and matching again in the early part of this week. We do three shows. We're kind of mixing the crew up. Andy's joining me all hour long. It's all blue-white.
It should be.
And for the this game means nothing crowd, well, sorry. I don't agree with that. I also think that there's an art to watching this game, given that there's a number of walk-ons, that the results don't matter, that a whole bunch of guys are being held out. There are still things that you can conclude from the game. And it's all part of that 15 spring practices. This is just one of them. But I think there's a way to watch this game where you're trying to make meaningful conclusions about things.
For the coaching staff, there's a lot of meaningful conclusions. But in its core, it was kind of a – if you're a football fan and you're a Penn State fan, it was kind of a boring game, quote unquote. But the game inside the game was fascinating. And with who wasn't available, who was hurt, who wasn't playing, and some of the things that were going on, to me, there was a lot to watch. I mean, I'm sitting in the stands, just, you know, regular Joe, just sitting in the stands, watching. I watched like seven different things through the course of the, you know,
we'll talk about all of them.
Three and three quarters that I was there. We left with like 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and missed the Sean Clifford touchdown pass. Was that to Hippenhammer?
Hippenhammer.
I missed that because we started walking out. But I saw a lot, and there was a lot to watch inside the game. And there was a lot of strategy going on in terms of who was playing and what they were running.
And I think you touch on something here where I think you're watching for individual skill sets. It's hard sometimes to put aside the results, because the fact that Mac Hippenhammer caught a touchdown pass is secondary to the route he ran, to the strengths that he showed.
Right.
And we'll touch on that. I want, before we get into, you know, all those things, I just want to get the commitment out of the way, so to speak, because
get it.
It had been a while since Penn State had gotten a commitment, and you know, there's a whole bunch of kids on campus. Caden Wallace was clearly behind the scenes pretty well solid to Penn State because he filmed the whole production video of his commitment. So they knew before we knew. And, you know, this is a kid that I looked into a little bit and whatever, but I don't think I ever watched his film before.
Neither had I.
He committed. And my goodness, they are getting such a good player here. And 6'5", 315, number 74 overall prospect on the 24/7 sports rankings, number 4 guard. He's a monster, but the thing that is really unique about him, Andy, is that he looks like he's 6'5", 240, but he's 315 pounds. His frame is broad-shouldered and athletic, and he seems to have that real mauling, nasty attitude that you want. I don't know that Penn State has gotten a true guard prospect that's better than him so far. You look at C.J. Thorpe, and you know Mike Miranda's turning out nice, and Connor McGovern was nice, and Michael Minnett. We weren't sure if he was a tackle or a guard, but when it comes to a pure guard, this kid is really impressive.
He's a pure guard, but he can, you know, for lack of a better term, he's still a gate. He can swing the gate. He could play right tackle in a, you know, if that was something like that.
He moves well enough to do it.
He moves well enough. He's not a left tackle. I don't think that's it, but he can be an either guard or a right tackle, and that sort of fits Matt Limegrover and James Franklin are recruiting an offensive lineman, which is position specific in the big picture in terms of later down the line. But in the short term, they're looking for gatekeepers, looking for guys that can swing around and play, you know, two or three spots on the offensive line. That's what they're looking for. He fills it. I was amazed when I saw his weight. After I watched his tape before I realized that he was 315 pounds. And I was like, he looks a little... He looks a little not small, but not large. And I was like, that's 300. And then I saw a picture of him up close, just a snapshot. And I'm like, yeah, okay, he's 300 pounds. But you're right. He doesn't look 300 pounds. He doesn't move like 300 pounds, but he plays football like a 300-pound guy that wants to hurt you. And I think he had a long laundry list of, of schools that were after him, including like Clemson, Oklahoma, Auburn was in there deep. They were all schools that sought after him, and he fits Penn State for what they're looking for in recruits and offensive linemen starting in 2017 class. 17, 18, 19, you can find the Penn State offensive linemen by the commits they get. They're looking for a certain kind of guy.
I'll put a disclaimer here that if you're a senior in high school, it's too early to talk about this, but this is – you look back at Nunes, you do Rasheed Walker, Caden Wallace, these guys, you see a pro body. Let's put it that way.
That is a pro body.
A pro body.
Yep.
You know, it's anybody's guess how the next 3, 4, 5 years go, but Penn State's starting to line these guys up now. And the interior of Penn State's line, there's a wave coming, you know, and C.J. Thorpe, Mike Miranda, Michael Mennett is going to get his shot, it looks like, this year. Juice Scruggs, there's guys who are really legitimate, special prospects, and there's a bunch of them now.
Gellerstedt, I think you could throw him in there possibly as well. The interesting thing was I have a little offensive line source. He's a former FBS coordinator. He's now a strength coach somewhere else, but he was an O-line recruiter and O-line coach at the FBS level for more than a decade. And I asked him, you know, after Penn State got the commit, we were talking about it. I said, what's the time frame? And he goes, it's 18 to 24 months minimum. There are some kids out of necessity that come in that you have to play, even though the toolkit's there, but physically and mentally, it's just not there, but you have to play them. He said the best offensive line system is 18 to 24 months minimum, and 24 to 30 is more the average. So when you look at a Penn State offensive line recruit, let's go 18 to 24 years down the road when you're looking at them being developed enough. And when you look at what they just got, picture that in 18 to 24 months.
It's a pretty scary group.
In that weight room lab. Yeah, it's got some meat on the bone now.
It's coming together. 2018 looks like the year that they take a step forward, but the prospects are just getting better and better. I think it's worth saying. It's no slight to guys who are there now.
Nope.
But this is a little bit different breed, and Caden Wallace fits that. Recruiting, Andrew, by the way, the Keystone Kickoff Show you're listening to here. We're talking Penn State's blue-white game, and we haven't even gotten into the game yet.
Because not yet.
Recruiting is such a big deal, and then the way that NCAA rules shake out with official visits, it became an even bigger deal. To get one commitment as we sit here recording, I don't really feel like it's a disappointment because you have to understand what the process is, because if kids can take spring visits, take summer visits, they can – they're going to take them now.
Right.
And I think that anybody who's not 100% sold solid to Penn State right now is going to explore. It doesn't mean that Penn State's in any worse position. I also think that the size of this class, which is going to be the smallest since Franklin got here, factors into the fact that, okay, they didn't get more than one commitment so far. It doesn't mean they're not coming. It doesn't mean that kids don't like Penn State. It doesn't mean the class is going to fall off a cliff or anything. It just means that all these factors come together, this cycle, to mean that things are going to move a little slower than you expect.
Two things I'll say. One, I will never, and you should never doubt James Franklin when it comes to recruiting. Just don't do that. That would be a huge mistake, because this guy does not leave an I undotted or a T uncrossed when it comes to that realm. And two is, this is year one of the sort of the shift in the NCAA with the official visits. Whereas as before this year, you could put a little bit of overt pressure on these players to verbal.
I do think this time last year, you would have more commitments.
You would.
For sure.
But now that the open window is, you know, you've got that April to sometime in June open official visit window, it gives players and parents and, you know, the whole process a different look to it. And the fact is, unless you're a lock, like you said, Dustin, to Penn State, and that's where you want to go, this window is advantage players. That's why the coaches don't like it. It's advantage players. James hasn't necessarily said whether it's good or bad. He's just like, it's different. So he's a just fire, move on, and it's going to be slower, but I think it makes it's going to have to shake out over a 2 or 3 year period, but you just know it's going to be different, a little bit slower, unless you were locked into a school.
You know what I thought was an interesting component of this? It didn't strike me right off the bat, but Keegan Michael Key is, you saw a lot of him, right? On TV, you saw a lot of him at the game.
Yep.
He's doing the guest coaching thing.
He was funny.
He's sitting at the press conference. If you want to connect to all the 17 and 18 year olds sitting above you in a press conference, you use that to the fullest. It's one thing that can make Penn State spring game feel different than others. And I think that's kind of what you're going for. You're looking for environment. You're looking to, I think you can show how, where you're at as a program, good performance. I think what happens on the field doesn't really even matter, but it's how you make it feel different. And I love the guy, and I think that every time you saw him, there was a purpose behind it, and I think every little bit helps in recruiting. It didn't really dawn on me as I'm watching this until a little after the fact.
I'm sure James and Keegan have a great relationship. They do. We can say that. But do you think 80% of what he did was not intentional and by design, and it was targeted for the 160-some or 170-something kids that were there, particularly the lane of that was the official visit lane? They were definitely showcasing a little bit of appeal without James having to do anything.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do anything except he just rolled it out, and it was very intentional.
It's hard to find a celebrity, quote unquote, super fan that age group knows, enjoys, and respects.
Yep.
And Penn State's got one. It's not like you're going to be like, oh, well, they're going to get this commitment now because of, but it just contributes to that overall tone of recruiting, and nothing with Franklin is by accident. We know that.
Dude, his toolkit, that's why I just said a few minutes ago, do not doubt this guy. Don't worry about the numbers or recruiting. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he saw that as an opportunity to add another tool to his toolkit and have some great fun, and Keegan had fun too, and it appealed to the fans. It was a very broad appeal, but it was a very targeted market.
It's Franklin is always pushing for the environment. And you were there.
Yeah.
They listed at 71,000. I think that's probably, you can always assume that's a little high, right? But fans are in there. It's nice outside. There's a whole bunch of people out there tailgating.
A whole bunch.
So I think it's mission accomplished for Penn State for the weekend.
It was a banner weekend for them, and that's why I think going forward under James Franklin, the game itself, the spring game used to be a big deal in terms of a football game. The game itself now is like fifth or sixth on the depth chart. And that's the way James wants to do it as he's been building this program. And I think last year was a little bit. This year you saw even more. This is what to expect from the spring game going forward.
It's one of 15 practices. They don't take that lightly, but at the same time, it's still a practice. We'll get into all the things in the practice. I think that all the stuff that happened off the field is worth talking about. We'll get into all the on-the-field stuff coming up right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.